It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul and Mary Jo are here. We're going to talk about Windows 10 one week in. A little rant from Paul about crapware on the PC. And dude's got a Dell. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 398, recorded January 28th, 2015. This is Spartan. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/windows and entering the promo code Windows. And by IT Pro TV. A good IT pro is always learning, and IT Pro TV is the resource to keep your IT skills and knowledge up to date. IT Pro TV offers engaging courses streamed to your Roku, computer, or mobile device. For a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account, go to itpro.tv/ww and use the code WW30. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Redmond, back from their jaunt to the Pacific Northwest. Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. His hot new site. All the kids are doing it.
Yes, they are, Leo.
All the kids are doing it.
They're all doing the T.
Doing the T. Also, Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Both back in their native habitats where the snow has come down. You survived Snowmageddon, though, yeah?
Yeah.
Wasn't I had to look bad. This up. My wife said she thought this was the most snow our kids had ever seen at one time. But
really?
Actually, 2005, we got 27.5 inches of snow. So
in up your way in New England, you got a couple of feet.
Yeah, we got 2 feet here.
But in Manhattan, it was a little less than a foot, right? It wasn't
like 8 inches,
yeah,
7 inches.
It wasn't too bad. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, at least they didn't shut down the subway or anything.
Yeah, they did.
They shut down the subway? Why'd they shut down the subway?
They thought it was going to be much worse.
Oh,
and it was
Lord.
But, you know, when it's much worse is when you need that kind of thing to be open.
No.
Don't you think?
Yeah, they shut down the subway the night before the storm. And they also banned any cars that weren't emergency cars, including cabs, from the streets after 11.
Wow. Oh, my God. I saw pictures of empty streets in Manhattan. You never see that. It's kind of cool.
It was, but people panicked because if you're in Manhattan and the last train's gone home and you can't get a cab, then what?
Then you're screwed, yeah.
Uber.
Yeah. There is nothing we can't overreact to, Mary Jo.
I know. It was crazy.
It's never snowed here before. What do we do?
I should have rented out a little space on my floor or something.
And the irony is that, I mean, at least when I was a kid, this wasn't unusual at all. 8 inches of snow.
This isn't unusual now. We get these storms every year. I don't understand.
It's CNN.
Every winter we have 3 feet of snow on the ground. I don't get.
I blame CNN for the whole thing. They need ratings, so they make it a big apocalypse, and then the public service sector believes it, and then the whole thing snowballs.
The last time we overreacted to snow like this, we were cavemen, wondering if, like, the gods were raining terror on us. I mean,
what is this
so out of whack.
So we had a little bit of a apocalypse last week with this Windows 10 announcement. That was something else. Very exciting. You've had a week now to digest. Any thoughts?
Yeah, it's not that good.
Yeah.
Actually, before we get to that, I think Mary Jo would agree. One thing we need to do is thank everybody who came to our meetup last week.
Oh, how did that go? Yeah, how did that go?
It was amazing. And you know, Terry Myerson came and Joe Belfiore.
You're kidding.
And from Microsoft.
You're kidding.
But, you know, honestly, more important than that, there were people who drove, in one case, it was 2 hours to meet us.
Oh, that's great.
People who came from very far away. There's a guy from Colombia. He was joking. Yeah, I flew in to come to your meetup. And I was like, please tell me that isn't true. And he said, no, I'm here for training. But, you know, I heard you were doing this.
Oh, people do that, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really nice. And I can't thank everyone personally, but I think it's important that we recognize the effort that these people went to. And it was very nice. And, you know, thank you.
People even brought us a couple gifts.
Yep.
The couple who drove 2 hours, I forget their name, they make their own wine, and they brought us each bottle.
Wow.
And somebody else who is a poster, he makes silkscreen posters. He made us posters and hand-carried them here. It was like, wow.
Yeah. Yep.
It was really great. And everybody came. We drank a lot of good beer at Bellevue Brewing. It was really good. Really good meetup.
Yeah, awesome. It was great.
Yep.
I mean, I haven't been to Redmond in a while, so this whole trip was like a alcohol-fueled family reunion, but it was, it was nice.
It was.
Okay, but let's talk about Windows 10.
The funny thing was, we didn't know when they were going to drop the next build of Windows 10 desktop, and it ended up happening on Friday.
I had heard Friday. I mean,
you had heard Friday, but they had told some of us next week.
I was saying next week on the radio show, and somebody said, no, it's here.
The way they said, they were very cagey. They said within the next week, right? And 2 days later was within that next week. So,
yeah.
And I had heard Friday, I think is the way to say it.
So they still call it the technical preview. It doesn't say consumer preview or something else.
Windows is like the Antichrist. Its names are Legion. And internally, this is actually called Windows Technical Preview 2. Which they're trying not to get out there in the public. The Xbox Post originally used that term, and the Windows Server team has used this term. And that is, in fact, kind of what it's called. And I think of that it's sort of what we might have called the consumer preview before, where the original technical preview was that set of builds that came out in the fall, and technical preview 2 is this next phase where they're putting in the tablet mode and, you know, all that kind of consumer stuff.
So you've had a chance to play with it now, and tell me a little bit about it. Is it much different? Is it similar?
I would say, honestly, it's not much different. It's refined, and there are additional things. We made a short list of some of that stuff in the notes. But, visually it's been upgraded. The icons are kind of new and bright and different, new backgrounds and new lock screen. There's actually a hidden lock screen I haven't written about yet as well. And then some new features, that if you have a Surface Pro 3, you can detach the tablet part from the keyboard and Continuum will kick in. And it will say, would you like to go into tablet mode? And back and forth. If you don't have a Surface Pro 3, you can enable it manually through the Action Center, which is also new, actually, or improved anyway. Lots of Windows Phone looking things in here, which I really like, because these things are going to be the same OS now. So it makes sense the UIs would converge. And a bunch of new universal apps, which are those apps that will also run on Windows Phone. OneNote Preview. What do we have here in the notes? Maps, Cortana. Well, Cortana is not really an app, but I guess it is an app. Store Beta, Photos, and Xbox. And so they're kind of moving us toward the future of Windows 10, where a lot more of these things will be universal apps as well. What am I missing here? That's most of it, right?
So it sounds like most of you, would it be safe to say most of what Microsoft does, they'll make universal? I mean, if it can be. It's interesting that Xbox is.
Yeah. I mean, so the point of the, obviously, there are going to be versions of Windows 10 that run on phones, phablets, and very small tablets. There are going to be versions that run on big tablets, PCs of all sizes, et cetera. It makes sense that the universal apps would work on both, right? They may look different on a smaller device because of the screen size and orientation, but it's the same app, and you can go back and forth. And obviously, you get the I almost call it SkyDrive, the OneDrive sync of app settings and data between the platforms as well.
Okay.
I think the thing I've seen people talking about is something that's a little bit contentious is the change to the start menu, right? Like in this build. Mm-hmm. Some people really don't like what they're doing to start menu.
The change from the previous technical preview?
Well, but why though? So I'm actually confused by this complaint.
No, I like it from what I've seen. I should say I'm not running the technical preview still because it's still too buggy for me.
Think about, we'd have to go back 6 or 8 months and I had written at some point, I haven't looked it up, but somewhere I wrote, the start menu in Windows 10 will be expandable out to full screen, right?
So it becomes
and then we finally got the actual, right. And so in the original technical preview builds, there was actually a switch in the properties for this where you could switch between full screen, start screen, and a menu, right? And the menu would be the default on a desktop type computer, and the start screen would be a default on like a tablet. And I thought that's interesting because that's not what I had heard. I had heard that this was one UI and you could just kind of stretch it out the full screen. But now in Technical Preview 2, we see that that is in fact what they're doing. They're not going to have two UIs. It's one UI. And if you're using tablet mode, it will automatically go full screen, as will all the other universal and modern apps. And that's, to me, is consistent. Honestly, if you're running this thing on a tablet, you're in tablet mode, or you're just on a smaller device where you don't have that choice, everything's full screen. It works a lot like it did in Windows 8. I mean, what's not to like? I don't understand.
Like,
I mean, to me, it's...
I think it makes sense. It looks very sensible to me. But I've seen people saying they don't like the list combined with the tiles and... I don't know. Oh. Everyone has their preferences, right? But
this is not what it looked like in the previous release.
It's not.
Well, it's different. I mean, functionally, it's basically the same thing. So we're seeing the version of the start menu that we were promised back in October or last day of September, where it does have that list of apps on the side, you know, all apps and all that kind of stuff, and recent apps, which wasn't available previously. And it's one, you know, like I said, it's still a start menu. You just can go, it can go full screen. You can't resize it in this build, but that's a one build problem. They're going to fix that. They're going to let you resize it. Yep. You know, and if you're running on a tablet, to me, it's better than the version in Windows 8. I think this is better. I don't understand. I find it odd, you know, all the complaining that occurred about Windows 8, the incessant, incredible complaining. And now they're walking away from that. Now we're hearing complaining from people who like Windows 8. You know?
Right. I know. Yeah.
So is there, I'm looking for a picture of the new menu. Is that on, can I see that on Throt.com?
Yeah.
You have a lot of posts, but nothing specifically
to
the menu.
So, where would that be?
Which post?
Actually, go to the enable tablet mode tip.
Okay. All right.
So... So if you scroll down, the second screenshot shows the start menu. And the third screenshot shows the full screen version of the start menu. You can enable that two ways. You can hit the full screen button that's on the start menu, or you can go into tablet mode, in which case this becomes automatic. And the difference between the full screen start menu and the start screen from Windows 8 is that instead of having a separate apps screen on the, you know, that is kind of fold.
There's this list now.
You've got the list, but the list duplicates what you see in the start menu. So it's the places menu. Right. It's the recently used, most used apps. And then you can also get to all apps.
Right. Right.
I guess some people are like not liking that it's has a redundancy. I don't really care.
They want the tablet mode to be different somehow?
I don't know.
Really, all the tablet does is explode the desktop mode menu.
The complaints I hear about this are all of the specious variety. You know, if you swipe in from the left edge of the screen on a touch device, on Windows 8, that would bring up the switcher user interface.
Right.
Or depending on how you did it, you could switch between apps. In Windows 10, it brings up Alt plus Tab, you know, Windows Flip or whatever they're calling it these days. Perfectly logical. The same thing. Fine. In Windows 8, if you swiped in from the right side of the screen, you would bring up the charms, which nobody liked until they removed it. And then suddenly
Where's
we find out
charms?
People kind of do like it. So in Windows 10, it brings up the Action Center. And if you use Windows Phone, you'll appreciate the fact that Action Center has these quick action tiles, which are that big arrow is pointing to in that picture you're showing. And that can be expanded so there are more of them in there.
I like that, yeah.
This gives you access to a lot of those quick setting type things you would get to from the settings
and
charm.
It's customizable, so you can put the stuff you want there.
Yep, this is way better than the previous
Much
system.
Better.
I just don't get it. Much the other thing I'll just add, just because we're on the topic of how it works on touch devices, is that in Windows 8, if you swiped in from the top of the screen or the bottom of the screen, it would load the app bar or app bars for the current application. That's where you would see all the commands, big buttons, big Fisher-Pricey kind of buttons. In universal apps, which are a special kind of modern app that runs cross-platform, they're not going to have app bars anymore. And so you can have your own UI. A lot of these systems, if you look at Xbox Music is a good example today, but any of the universal apps that are available today in the Windows 10 Technical Preview 2, they use that kind of hamburger menu over on the side to bring in a navigational slider that has the commands there. Or you can kind of roll your own. So the Office applications will have ribbons, which are basically toolbars with tabs, right? It looks a lot like Office apps for iPad. So again, perfectly consistent with the way it worked before. You still swipe from the top or bottom to get to app commands. They're just displayed in a more professional manner.
It would seem to be prudent also to say...
I'm sorry. Actually, what I just said was a mistake. I'm sorry.
Okay.
If you swipe up from the bottom, you'll actually see the taskbar.
Okay.
It's not actually exactly the same.
That what we see now is still a technical preview and not a final UI.
Yeah, so your complaining could change this yet again.
Just yes. Please don't.
Keep bitching and moaning, people, because that's how we get things done at Microsoft. I mean,
even in the chat room, people are saying, somebody said this is a disaster.
It's not a disaster. This is better. I feel comfortable that I've used Windows as much as anyone on Earth. And I'm telling you, this is better than Windows 8.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing is continued, splashback from the Windows 8 thing. And that people who did buckle down and learn Windows 8 are now saying, well, crap.
Except for one thing. Everything you learned will move forward nicely.
Except the charms bar.
Not really. Because, yes, the charms bar is not there. But the most important reason that you would go to the reasons you would go there is there still.
Right.
It's there through the
you can customize the quick actions
yes.
and make the same thing. So all the same things can be there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. This is not a big deal. These are not major issues. The bigger deal to me is that the important part of Windows 8, which is just the general touchness of it, is still all there. The app platform, which is huge, is now there and will run windowed or in full screen mode. Huge. That modern app platform was kind of powerful and full-featured under the covers, but the apps themselves were often kind of childish-looking with big buttons and stupid UIs. They fixed that, too. I mean, to me, this is a giant win-win.
Some concern about the apps menu getting awfully long if you install a lot of stuff.
Well, yes. Sure. But it works like the start menu did in Windows 7, Windows Vista, Windows whatever. You don't see all of it. You just see...
The most recent.
You can scroll it. I mean, like the tile area, you can actually pan that up and down if there's more tiles. Same thing on the left side. I mean, you see the most recently used or the most used. Right. You don't see all of the apps.
There's an all apps button there.
Like there has been, by the way, in every single version of Windows dating back to Windows 95.
And what I kind of like... It was not explicit that if you start typing, it'll start searching. But now they have a, ask me anything box that really kind of invites typing.
Yep. And if you're a power user, you can turn it off and it still works.
Okay. So once you grok, I could type, and I think anybody's using
Windows.
Well,
once you say, first
that.
Of all, you say, I don't want 6 inches of my taskbar being taken up by the stupid
box. Get rid of that
box.
Thing, and you can turn
get
it off.
Get rid of it. Guess what? When you hit the start button and start typing, it works exactly like Start Search has worked all the way back to, I think it was Windows Vista.
Right. I think that this is a good direction for Microsoft to take, which is put stuff in but give you the option to turn it off. I can't see how anybody would be unhappy by that. Because you get control. And then for novice users or people who are new to the UI or the version or Windows in general, there's some hints there for you to... That was one of the problems I had with Windows 8 was that so much was hidden and obscure,
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I use Windows 8 1 on my laptop, and when I had a Surface RT, I still have my Surface RT, but I never use it anymore. I hated the charms bar. I never could remember to use it.
Right.
And I think the changes they're making now are meant to make Windows more intuitive for people who are used to Windows.
I agree.
So I guess I see why people who ended up liking Windows 8 after all are now sad. But you have to think, I guess I think about it as in the end, it's just going to make Windows so much more easy to use for all the people who didn't upgrade.
Right.
Or downgrade, if you want to say, to Windows 8.
And if you love Windows 8, it's not going to take you a long time
no.
to accommodate this.
By the way, all of the Windows 8 UIs that people are now apparently very attached to.
We're not in any way discoverable.
None of them.
Right.
And you'll recall that one of the big controversies when Windows 8 was coming out was whether Microsoft would implement some sort of how-to video, because no one could. The only way you could figure this stuff out was by mistake.
Right.
You would do something and say, "Hey,
look,
what just happened?"
And so
in Windows 8.1, remember they added that little did you know you can swipe in to do this?
And right.
This stuff is not discoverable. If you as a power user, or you just as a user, have figured out how to use Windows 8.1, Windows 10 will be very logical to you. We're not just changing the paradigm again.
Right.
It's an evolution.
My whole Twitter stream right now is full of people who are saying, I hate Windows 10 on touch tablets.
To which I would say, why would anyone use Windows on a tablet anyway? There's nothing there. But if you are into it for some reason, again, I feel it's a very logical step up.
People are saying it's harder to find, harder to use when you're just using it with touch now. And
I disagree.
I can't say from firsthand experience, because even when I had my Surface, I never used it as a touch tablet because I just thought it never really worked well that way. And I know a million people are going to disagree with me on that, but I used it with the keyboard only. Almost, I'd say 99% of the time.
Yep. Yeah, I think a lot of times you go into like a Metro app, like the news app or something, and you would launch it with your keyboard or mouse or whatever, but then you might pan with like to read a story. That would be about the extent of it. So I can't stress this enough. People are freaking out over a single build as if Microsoft has suddenly locked something in stone or whatever.
It
will continue to evolve.
Yep. And we haven't yet seen Windows 10 on these really small tablets, because the Windows 10 mobile SKU is going to work on Windows phones and tablets under 8 inches in size. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there and how that evolves.
Well, Twitter's made for hate, so.
It is. Twitter is made for hate.
I've not noticed this. I'm sorry, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
Twitter.
Are you suggesting? I'm spitballing based on what you just said, that people take things out of context and personally attack you.
No, it's Twitter
something
designed.
That someone else did or Microsoft did. Is that what you're? Is that
Twitter appeals to the monkey mind? I mean, I think it actually not even that
the monkey
it,
mind.
It appeals to the baby in us, and a lot of what I see on Twitter is kind of babyish.
Yes.
A knee-jerk reaction to things.
Yes.
And
it's a mind without filter.
It's a mind without filter. And because
I wrote this on the internet today, but I described it as the misguided being misled by the misinformed.
I even think there's a place for it, but I think you have to take it in that context when you read stuff on Twitter. That's just very much people's like top of mind. Not considered opinion in most cases. It's just like
90% of the time, my reaction to something someone has said to me on Twitter amounts to, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And then you sort of realize, well, first of all, it's the medium. I know, and Mary Jo knows just as a writer, that it's often hard to convey real meaning, especially in something very short, that people will often misunderstand each other. You know, that something might come across as especially brutal when it wasn't meant to be. That happens a lot.
I think it's also the case that sometimes people post stuff on Twitter and then they think about it for 5 seconds and go, but it's okay. But that's okay.
Sometimes I'll respond to someone just sort of trying to feel out where they're coming from. And they respond with something funny and you realize they didn't mean anything by that.
No, they didn't. In fact, that's why it's probably not good to take it too seriously. It's all id. Yeah. That's 100% true. There are lots of people who use Twitter for considered thoughtful opinion. But honestly, why are you doing it in a space that allows you 140 characters?
I was going to say, there's not a lot of thought when you have 140 characters. Huh?
So I look at what I see on Twitter as id, and perhaps a good gauge of what the knee-jerk reaction will be to anything. But I wouldn't, if I were Microsoft, I certainly wouldn't use it as guidance for future versions.
My favorite part about Twitter is when I make something that is patently intended to be humor.
Yeah.
Should be obvious to anyone. And then you get these really serious responses, you know. Well, Paul, have you considered the, you know.
But that's the internet in general.
Just making a joke.
There's no, it's text. Yeah. So people, it's very difficult and subtle to express things like humor, sarcasm, you know.
Oh, I know.
It is.
So, you know, it's just the way, I think Twitter's great. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm on Twitter all day long. Yeah. That's why I'm an insane person, Leo.
Well, it will make you crazy if you pay too much attention to it. That's true.
Actually, Mary Jo serves as a sort of psychiatrist for me. I will often interact with people publicly on Twitter and then privately with Mary Jo, where I say, you need to call, you know, get me down from the cliff here.
It happens to me all the time. People in my life will call and say, stop posting.
Yes. Yep. I've actually also joked with Mary Jo that I'm going to give her access to my Twitter account. Yeah. And when she sees me just stepping over the line, she'll just turn it off.
Because it's not just their it. It's
you're
your
done
it
for
too.
The day, Paul. Yeah. Just why don't you go outside?
So,
but you know, the bottom line is it's going to keep changing. This is the Windows Twitter? 10 is far from done.
Yeah, that was kind of my point, is that you shouldn't make any conclusions now.
I know. And that's why they have user voice and the forums, and they are telling you to upvote things, because they are, unlike previous regimes in Windows, actually listening to what people are saying and taking it into account in developing the operating system.
That's true. And by the way, I don't think something as specific as Charms is coming back, or, you know, placeholders in OneDrive. But it doesn't mean that enough complaining or constructive feedback about those things won't bring some form of that functionality back in a way that is more acceptable to you than the current system. And so, you know, the feedback part is crucial. I don't know that they're paying attention to what people are complaining about on Twitter. You know, I think it's important to go into the app and use the built-in feedback form to make sure it hits the right people and not me. No, I don't mind. I mean, I love discussing this stuff, supposedly. But or sometimes, you know.
I don't know. All I can tell you guys is, remember when we first started talking about Windows 8 and I saw it and I said to you, wow, everyone is going to hate that. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And when I see this, I feel like, and I'm just judging it from my own perspective and probably thinking more like the average user and maybe the IT user. But this to me is just like, wow, I can figure this out without having to spend hours trying to be like, oh, how do I do this again? It looks very intuitive to me.
Yeah, I agree. seven stages of grief, you know?
Yeah. And I became comfortable with Windows 8 and 8, and I liked 8.1. I thought it was a good improvement. But I do feel like Windows 10 is a big.
Oh, yeah. Oh, huge. Huge. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to embarrass people at Microsoft, but I remember having these conversations over the course of development when they announced certain things and so forth. And I will never forget the conversation I had about the Charms. And I was just like, it's very important to me as someone who, you know, I write books about this stuff. And I went through this with the Windows Phone guys very early on, where I was like, look, I need names for everything. You know, we don't have names for everything.
Yeah,
no, you need names for
it.
You have to refer to it. Yeah. You have to. I have to. This is, I'm not the first person to think of this, except that I apparently was. And, you know, but I remember with Windows 8 in particular, you know, so this, I said, so this Charms thing that's on the side, toolbar, system toolbar? Nope. Just Charms.
Just Charms.
Right. So is it like the Charms?
Nope.
The Charms bar?
Magically Charms. Delicious.
Yeah, right. Like a bowl of cereal.
Charms. Lucky Charms.
I swear to God, that was the...
glad Charms bar is gone. That's all I'm going to
say. You can almost
say.
Imagine some engineer was sitting there with his bowl of Lucky Charms in the morning, and he was like, Eureka!
That's magically delicious.
Yeah.
Raspberry red, lemon yellow, and orange. Yeah.
We are seriously talking about a technology topic here, people. It's amazing.
I think that, of course, there are people with muscle memory now, as Baz says, they program their brain.
By the way, yes, absolutely muscle memory. That's been one of the big complaints.
That's sad, but your muscle needs new memory now. And
Windows
remember,
8 itself was a destruction of muscle memory. You got to remember, again, going all the way back to Windows 95, you'd go to the left side of the screen by default, click on the start menu, and you would shut down your computer.
Somebody's
Windows
already,
8,
already
they moved it over to the right on a charm, off of a charm. You go to settings, and then it was there. It's back on the left again, folks. Is this should be good news. It's not. It's not good news. People are not happy with it. Some people.
Leo, the raspberry red, lemon yellow, and orange is tricks. It's not Lucky Charms. I think you might want to correct yourself on
yes.
the show.
Yes.
You've got the wrong cereal, my friend.
And I want you to correct yourself like the New York Times does yes. and have a disclaimer at the bottom of every single post that explains exactly what was wrong.
Oh, I love it. no, and I'm not complaining. I love you, Internet. I love you.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we put up with you, Internet, as the breeding ground.
We put up with you, Internet. Okay. Hey, by the way, should I install on my brand new, spanking new Dell XPS 13 that's arriving next week, should I put this on there?
So I've not installed it on this machine.
Well, I'm not saying specific to the machine, but...
Yeah.
Is it time to use Windows 10 or should I really wait?
Honestly, I've heard from a lot of people that this thing is unstable. They've had problems. They've gone back to Windows 8.1 in some cases. I've installed this thing on virtually everything in my office, and I haven't really had any problems.
It's thinking of putting it on the S7 since that's getting replaced by the XPS 13 and then using
it. One thing I haven't done, and this is also new to Technical Preview 2, is there's a rollback functionality now. And so when you boot the computer, you actually have the choice between Windows 10 and your old system. And I think if you chose the old one, it'd probably actually roll it back. But you can also go into the recovery tools and settings. And in addition to refresh, reset, and whatever else is there, backup and whatever, there is an option for rolling back to the previous version. So
I guess what I would say to you is that's unheard of.
Make sure you have all your recovery stuff set up if you get something from Asus or Acer or whoever it is. Make sure that's all ready to go just in case. But, just to be prepared. I mean, you should always be ready to scoot back to wherever you were if you have to. But I've had good luck so far.
Yeah, and of course, this is in the knowledge that Mary Jo has not done it for completely sensible reasons.
Well, Mary Jo being a sensible and normal person has not installed this, and you and I are trying to figure out ways we can destroy our expensive PC drive.
If I had a bunch of PCs lying around, I probably would, but I do not.
Sure. Yeah, so maybe I'll put it on the S7 and leave. Thing is, to be honest, I just hate Windows 8. And I feel like I would like Windows 10 a whole lot better.
Yeah. In the week or two before this event, I rolled a lot of my machines back, including my desktop, to whatever version of Windows. And so for my desktop, I've been using Windows 8.1. On my Ultrabook, we went back to Windows 7. Some other machines went back to Windows 8.1. And then I upgraded them, to varying degrees of success. And but in that time that I was using the old system, the thing I realized was all of these things work fine. I can go to Windows 7, access Word and OneDrive and Chrome, and everything works great. I can go into Windows 8.1, access exactly the same applications. Everything works great. I have the modern apps in Windows 8.1, but they're full screen. So I tend not to use them as much unless I install like Modern Mix. You go to Windows 10, everything works great. Honestly, for day-to-day stuff, I mean, everything pretty much works.
Yeah. I know I will eventually. I'm just... I'm just trying to resist. I never really warmed up to Windows 8 and even 8.1.
Yeah.
I just never warmed up to it.
You're not unique in that regard, Leo.
It's not that I hate it.
I hear that from a lot of people.
No. It's just, I don't know. I have it on my Acer laptop, and I still, when I use it, feel I am way less productive than I am with Windows 7.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. I don't have an issue with it, but I do get it. I get the complaint.
Yeah.
One of our esteemed members of the chat room says he has to go pee. So this would be a good time to take a break.
All right.
Give everybody a chance.
Why don't we all go do that?
Let's all go to the lobby.
Nice. Nice.
Hey, I understand your biological urges. But maybe one of the most important biological urges in life is sleep. We spend a third of our lives... or more, for some of us, in bed. And your bed ought to be a haven, a place you go for comfort, relaxation. And it's not, if you don't love, I mean love, your bed, well, that's not good. I want to recommend something that is really wonderful. It's changed my relationship to my bed, and that's Casper. an online retailer of premium mattresses, and by the way, for a fraction of the cost. But you know, I would pay almost anything for a good night's sleep. So for me, even, the cost is secondary to the fact that these are great mattresses. Just the right amount of sink and bounce. They combine latex with memory foam. So it's firm, but, you know, your hips are, the mattress conforms to your hips, to your head, your shoulders. It is so comfy. Now, if money is tight, you're going to love the fact that Casper mattresses are a fraction of the cost of mattresses in the, you know, stores, in the showrooms. $500 for a twin. The biggest they sell, the king size, $950. But I got to tell you, the best part of this is you get to try it for 100 days before you're committed. Free delivery. There is no showroom. Although if you went to CES, I know a lot of people in our group were on Casper mattresses for the first time at CES. And they said, wow, these are great. You can return it within a 100-day period, so it's very easy to do that. They put it in a box, which is amazing. I don't know how they get it in that. Well, here's actually a video of them putting it in the box. If you live somewhere, I talked to somebody who lived in a place he couldn't get his king size mattress in, so he had two twins. That's not good. You're gonna be a lump in the middle. You got to try this. You got to go to Casper, Casper.com/windows. Casper.com/windows. It's completely risk-free. It's made in the USA. I will tell you, one of the concerns I had was maybe when it comes out of the box, you got a latexy smell or something. Nope. They really do this right. They are giving you an amazing experience. Really nice. This is I don't know how to describe it any other way except just to say try it. You will love it. I got one for my son. He, is in college, and he's like on a third floor walk up. And I said, "Look, I got it for you. They deliver this box to your door, and it'll be." And he wanted a king size, I think. Can't remember. Maybe king or queen. I said, "You'll never get a king or queen in there, but you'll get a Casper in there," and he loves it. They do sell a California king if you want the extra height and width. The queens, the twins, the twin XL. This is a great mattress at a great price. You'll love it. Casper.com/windows. Just go to Casper.com/windows so that they know you heard it on Windows Weekly, and use the offer code Windows. You'll love it. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. They are getting a good night's sleep right now as we do Windows Weekly in the snowbound Atlantic Northeast. Let me look at the notes so we see. Let me just see what's next.
Let's see.
There is a new calendar clock widget. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, but people hate that too, Leo.
What? How can you not?
Oh, do they? They don't hate it.
Come on. What? What do they? What?
Seriously,
what?
This is all I deal with now is hate.
Hate.
How could Microsoft do this to us? What do they not like?
Now look at the comments on this article. It's awful.
Oh, man.
What?
It's so terrible. What's wrong with you people?
What? Look at that. You know how much people paid 10 years ago for a geochron clock? You've got one built in.
Sure.
I'll try it out, but I think I prefer the old one. This looks like too many clicks. Too many step clicks. Backwards. Looks like a step backward. The analog clock, much nicer.
Yeah. Yep. Someone in there, I don't know if someone posted a picture of this, but there's a, if you remember back in Windows Vista, you could add clocks. And so, if Mary Jo, if you have Windows 8 or whatever, Windows 7, if you click on the time in the taskbar, it comes up and there's a calendar and like an analog clock. And in Windows Vista, you could add clocks. And so you could see the clock for the current time, the clock for Paris, the clock for Redmond. And I always thought that was kind of a cool feature.
Yeah,
actually,
somebody's commenting that he's in Brazil. I miss the
there it is, yeah.
The world the clocks. Can you still do this?
No.
Oh, well, but again, maybe they'll put that back in. It's not over.
Sure.
I actually use this feature because, you know, we're always talking about time zones here. So I actually use it. I always have UTC as one of my clocks. But you know what? I bet you. Just a crazy thing. Somebody might write an app that would do this.
Leo, if only Windows were an extensible platform someday.
I can't get too upset about the built-in accessory apps because
I know.
It's just an app.
I just thought it was pretty.
I think it's fine.
You know, I don't know.
It's fine. Paul, you obviously have very low standards.
Yeah.
It's probably because you hate yourself.
Deepest. I do. Look at my hair.
Yeah. Yeah, no one would do that to their head unless they hated
themselves. By the way, I told a couple of people the story already, but I saw a documentary about the Vietnam War, and part of it, the Chris, is shaving everyone's heads
right. So
they could go off to war.
Right.
Here's my question. Why can you shave a man's head in like 30 seconds flat?
Those are trained
and it took
military
my kids,
barbers.
Like 45 minutes to butcher my head.
They're using militarized clippers. Those are weaponized. I know. You look at that movie. They go, four strikes, and they're gone. You know, your hair's gone.
Yeah, no problem.
I know. Isn't that funny? Anyway, I like our new look, Paul.
Yeah. I do, too.
I've almost caught up to you.
My hair is growing very fast, and this is the second morning in a row where a portion of it was a little must. When I got out of bed.
Oh, my God. I dream of that day.
Yeah.
Must hair.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
I get it to this day. I get out of the shower and go, oh, I wish I had
something.
You do
the Fonzie thing where you're like, hey.
Yeah. Yep. Hey. By the way, there's somebody in the chat room saying you can have up to 3 clocks in Windows 8.1. I know. That's what we're saying. It's gone.
Right. Oh, is that still in Windows 3? Okay. I don't remember it.
And then
still
in 8.1.
Ashley, Mr. Thurrott.
I'm sorry. It was Lucky Charms. It wasn't Lucky Charms. It was that other. I can't even remember the cereal. Kicks. Tricks. Tricks are for kids. The Windows. Are there really 10 Windows 10 SKUs? No. How many SKUs are there?
Well, we don't know yet.
So you're still going to have Pro and Enterprise and Home and.
Yeah, we think when they come out with the additions, there's probably we don't know this for a fact, but we think there'll be Home, Pro, Enterprise. There'll probably be a mobile of some kind. There probably could be something like a Windows 10 for China specifically.
But
we don't know yet.
Will there be Windows 10 with Bing?
I would bet there will be Windows 10 with
Bing.
How about this? Will there be a Windows 10 without Bing?
I bet there will.
Cortana's
only
pretty
in the EU.
Bingy. So if you got Cortana, you're going to need the Bing.
Right. But the thing that I saw a lot of people getting very confused about are this week on Twitter again was which version are you going to put on your PC if it's a certain screen size?
Ah.
And again, we haven't really heard this yet from Microsoft. What we have heard is them talk about under 8 inches.
Yes,
under eight inches is where you get the Windows
cutoff.
Mobile.
Yeah, it's the cutoff that's the key. Yeah.
But then Joe Belfiore this week tweeted, if you have an existing Intel-based 7-inch Windows tablet, you can put the desktop SKU on that.
Ah.
So now people are kind of like, oh, wait, what?
What?
I think from what I've been hearing from my contacts, Microsoft's thinking again about Windows in terms of profiles, right? So they're talking to OEMs and they're saying, what are the most common types of devices that you guys are building? And they'll say, you know, like a high-end flagship phone or a touch tablet or, you know, they give them like categories like that. And Microsoft said, okay, here's the version you're going to put on this type of a device.
Right.
But people are getting all upset, like, am I going to get the desktop? Am I going to be able to run Win32 apps if I have the mobile SKU? And the answer is no to that. But, you know, what if I want to run the desktop, but I have a 7-inch tablet? Could I put the desktop SKU on it? That depends on how Microsoft allows OEMs to do this and maybe also how they allow customers ultimately to do it. But right now, I think the way to think about it is, under 8 inches, you're probably going to prefer the mobile SKU because that's going to be optimized for touch. It's not going to have a desktop. If you have a device of any kind, 8 inches or over, you might want the whole desktop SKU, especially if you care about running your Win32 apps. But people are just getting very twisted about this right now and worrying about it. The mobile SKU is not even out. It's going to be out in February for the first time for people to try. So again, I feel like saying, just be patient, everybody. You're going to see this plan evolve. It's still early days for Windows 10, and we're trying to figure it out along with you. I'm not sure how much Microsoft itself has figured out, but we're telling you what bits and pieces we get as we learn them, and we'll keep asking us questions, but don't panic yet. It's not time to panic yet.
Well, also, if I parse Joe's comments, he's not saying this is what will ship with that device. He's saying this is what you could put it on that device.
Right.
I mean, yep. There probably will be rules about what goes with what size, right?
New devices, yeah. On new devices, I think there will be rules.
Yeah. But but there's no reason to say, oh, you can't put Windows 10, full Windows 10 on a 7-inch device. It's just no new 7-inch devices will be sold that way.
And do you want to?
And do you want to?
So you may, right? I mean, for that kind of docking situation.
Right.
There are people who sort of dream about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
On Windows Phone today, for example, it doesn't support the Bluetooth, the keyboard capability. Windows obviously does. So it's conceivable that the phone, the version that would be on phone would, but as Mary Jo and I were discussing yesterday, I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah.
But could you put a pro version of Windows on a phone type device and get that functionality, or do like a, an anytime upgrade or whatever they might call it this time? Maybe. I mean, and maybe, who knows? There might be a PC maker, hardware maker that comes along and says, hey, I wasn't interested in Windows Phone before, but now that it's Windows, we'd like to make this kind of new type of device where you can dock it onto the back of a laptop screen and use it like a computer. But then you can carry the thing around in your pocket like a phone. Obviously, there have been devices like that, but I mean, maybe that becomes a thing. I don't, anything's possible.
Right. Right now, though, we don't know. People are asking us this a lot. Is it going to be possible for us to do that? Can I just dock my phone, use it with with a keyboard or a monitor? And we don't know for sure. I don't think Microsoft has said that yet. So we don't know. We don't know.
Right.
There's so many
we
don't knows, but. Yeah.
We're 9 months away from the release of this program. I mean, come on, kids. Yeah. There's lots of things that are going to change, I would guess, between now and the fall.
There is nothing that can't be overanalyzed, Leo.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. That's my job. Sometimes I forget. This is what we do.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And how about my Windows RT device?
Yeah, that's great.
there's no dead end is what you're saying. Cul-de-sac.
I don't know how I can so completely misheard what he said, but
you didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't say enough to.
Yeah, but you would appreciate that my ears are attuned to Microsoft speak, and that one went right over my head.
So you assumed that RT there would be an upgrade path for RT.
Assumed is a strong word, but I thought I heard it. I was mishearing.
Yeah.
Now, when they said there will be an update, you assumed update meaning
to 10.
Oh, you mean you as an English speaker assumed?
No, I must be learning from you guys because I'm sitting during the keynote. I heard him say that, and I said, I noticed he didn't say update to the Windows 10. Yeah. He merely said we have not. We're not done. We may update this.
Yeah.
But those, for all we know, those could be security updates.
We don't know.
Right. So to clarify, Microsoft later issued a statement saying that Windows RT will not, as Mary Jo said, get the Windows 10 upgrade, but that there will be some upgrades that will bring some features of Windows 10.
Right.
By the way, not to get off on this topic again, but my God, is my email insane over this topic.
Ugh.
People were saying, will I be able to run a no desktop mode on Windows RT then? It's like, guys, seriously.
You must have heard from every single person who owns an RT Pro.
I know.
Because I just don't feel like that's a big number.
Somewhere there are these sad, hulking guys that have like an RT device, a Zune, a Media Center PC.
Yeah, they got it all.
And they're just wondering where their life went wrong, you know?
I have all those, by the way.
Yeah, I do too, actually. Yeah.
Well, we also don't know. So Surface 2. I don't know how many people bought those. Also ARM-based. I guess they're also going to get the update, right? This mysterious update.
The non-Windows 10 update, yeah.
Right. We don't know how many features are going to be in that update. We don't know when it's coming. And people have asked me, does that mean I'm going to be able to run the Touch First Office on that device?
You know what?
No one.
Right.
Knows.
Who knows?
Nobody knows the answers to any of those.
I would just say, don't assume anything if you're running Windows RT.
Yeah.
if only someone had warned against using Windows RT years ago, all would have been okay. It's too bad no one thought to.
You know what? I think they're going to try. I think they're going to try to make it work because a lot of people who bought Windows RT and Surface 2 were early adopters who were very loyal to Microsoft, and it would be. It would be like Windows Phone 7.8 all over again, right?
Yeah.
They don't.
I think it is literally going to be like that again. But you're right. I mean, on the one hand, you want to do right by your early adopters. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
On the other hand, that crowd is small enough where the engineering and support costs that would go into making that happen may be prohibitively high.
But may I read the show note that goes with this item? Because I think it's rather entertaining.
Okay, should I just focus really tight on Paul while you're reading it?
So in our show notes on this item, it says, Paul must humbly admit Mary Jo was right about this. I will do 20 push-ups, sir. Might I have another? And I said, luckily, you have the proper military haircut for this task.
Yeah. I'm not positive I could do 20 push-ups right now, but I could work toward 20 push-ups.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember Leo planked on the show one time.
I'm sorry you brought that back up.
Sorry. It was actually, you did a great job planking. It's not easy.
No, planking is one of my real strengths, actually. Nice.
We all need something to hang our hats on.
I'm very
you know?
Good at planking. I can plank for hours.
It's just, during commercials, I plank. When I'm watching TV.
I have a core that just won't quit. looking for strategy in Satya's words. I don't know how I became a Windows fanboy in the period of a 2-hour keynote, but somehow I did. I liked Satya's closing statements. I will be the first to recognize that. As with any keynote, these are forward-looking statements, and the devil's in the details. We'll have to see how everything gets implemented. But I felt like we see a cohesive strategy from Microsoft, a positive way forward. I also feel like this. And I asked you this last week: is this the old the old factionalized Microsoft, or is this a new Microsoft that can row in the same direction? Because you can announce the HoloLens. Microsoft's announced a lot of great products, but if you can't deliver, then it's meaningless. Satya showed that he got it.
Right. I mean, it helped. I mean, look. Satya Nadella is surprisingly controversial within Microsoft. You know, depending on who you talk to, they love him or they're like, not so sure.
I bet the factionalists don't like him, right?
That could be. But there's also an element of people who have been involved in places where there have been a lot of layoffs and they're not entirely sure that the layoffs were done in a logical, correct fashion or whatever. But I think externally, Satya Nadella has been a big win for Microsoft overall. I mean, obviously, there have been the hiccups, what should a woman do when she wants to ask for a raise kind of thing was a kind of a glitch. The fact that the way that they make money is changing dramatically during his tenure and will, go down in many ways through no fault of his, just from the normal evolution of the business is something that, he'll have to deal with. But, I went back and rewatched that part of the keynote later and there were those three things he talked about with Windows, which I think were really important. Windows as a service, about my theory, which I increasingly believe to be correct, that if you agree to this free upgrade and install Windows 10, you're going to have to let Microsoft upgrade that system. We're going to treat it like we do sort of Office 365. It's going to be something that's always being serviced and kept
and
up to date.
Who wouldn't want that except maybe, I guess, some IT professionals?
Businesses, yes, absolutely. And so they're going to have the exception for those businesses. Right. But, the hope is that over time the system changes where, a lot of the businesses will come on board too. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
And why do you think they want to do it that way?
They don't trust Microsoft.
I understand that. No, I understand businesses. Why does Microsoft want to do that?
Oh, because right now what you have out in the world and what we've had out in the world for decades really is multiple versions of Windows with multiple versions of Internet Explorer, multiple versions of DLLs, and Silverlight, and Java, and all this stuff. And it's a support nightmare.
Yeah.
And when you talk about this really kind of interconnected world, we need these things to be on a common platform that can be easily serviced where we don't have to do, I keep saying we like I have anything to do with it, but where someone, whoever it is, Microsoft or anybody else, doesn't have to make 100 different versions of things to make sure everyone's up to date or as up to date as possible. I mean, it's just a more secure and reliable way to do it, assuming they can deliver Windows updates that actually, you know, don't screw up your computer, which they've done too. So that's a bit of a challenge.
Go ahead. I was just wondering if I should take any conclusion from the Microsoft stock price plummeting.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute because that's related to their earnings disclosure.
That's more earnings than anything else. Yeah.
Honestly, the big thing though to me was what we talked about last week, where he finally did say that, you know, mobile first, cloud first, Windows best. You know, and he used the word best.
Love that.
And I think this was maybe the most important thing that came out of it. He also reiterated something that Mary Jo and I have been saying over the course of the past year when we talk about Microsoft putting their apps on iOS, putting their apps on Android, which is, you know, this is not a subtle strategy. It's practical. It's customer first. You have to go where the customers are. And, you know, now that they've kind of sussed that out, I think we can, you know, see them put an emphasis on Windows again. And so I mean, you know, Mary Jo and I basically have careers where we parse, you know, what Microsoft says. I mean, I find his comments to be very interesting on a number of levels, but I do think he's kind of struck the right note there.
You know, I think I was reading what you wrote about this, Paul, and I agree with you that when I heard him give this talk and said all the positive things about Windows last week at the Windows 10 thing, I didn't really hear it. So when I read the transcript, I realized he actually didn't say much.
No, that's why you have to parse it out.
Right? His point was the proof that we love Windows more still than the other platforms is that we're building into the operating system things like Cortana and OneDrive and Xbox Live. But the part that we didn't hear and that I still don't really know is why is it better building that into the OS than it is having those as free apps like you do on iOS and Android? Like what's better about it?
Yeah, so actually you'd almost have to go service by service. And in some cases it's a little more obvious than others. I mean, I think the big thing right off the top is just discoverability, the fact that it's just there. And it's integrated into the system. It's not like a bolt-on app. Depending on the operating system and where we're at in time, the extensibility capabilities are more limited on those platforms than they are in Windows. You know, for example, in iOS, in the very latest version, they finally added this way for those cloud service engines to kind of be built into the OS and to share things more simply. That capability did not exist until September, October, whenever it was. And so there's going to be stuff like that. But you're right. I mean, ultimately, for an end user, is it any easier or better to use OneDrive with Word on Windows than it is to use Dropbox or OneDrive with Word or what's the Apple Word thing? Whatever it's called.
Pages.
You know, and if it isn't, then we have a problem. You know,
Just because that's it's the integrated. Question. I mean, because the part that is a little mysterious is, okay, you have OneDrive for free on iOS. It's free. The app is free also for Android. So why is it better that it's bundled with Windows?
Right.
For free also.
I mean, on the Microsoft solution, I think by being cross-platform, they do offer an interesting thing that's not always available elsewhere. So, for example, if you're an Apple guy, there are probably advantages to using Safari on the Mac and on iOS, and that you can maybe save articles and they appear in your phone, and that's really neat. But with Microsoft's system, the idea is that this stuff should work cross-platform. You know, that you could run around with your Lumia handset that has some kind of sensor core technology, or maybe use a Fitbit, and that information is going into a health service that Microsoft owns and controls, and it appears in the MSN health app on iOS because you have an iPhone instead or an iPad, let's say. I mean, it's that kind of cross-platform possibility that I think is also a big part of it as well.
Yeah, right.
The other ecosystems semi-rely on you staying within their hardware and software. Not 100%. Obviously, Google has a lot of stuff on iPhone too.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. That's the big question. I mean, I didn't want to get too far into the Satya Nadella criticism thing, but the one other thing I've heard, and this is externally to Microsoft, not internally, about him is, and I think you kind of alluded to this, is he says a lot, you know, but he doesn't really say a lot. So
he's a good CEO.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. And that's why you have to kind of go through the transcript or listen to him speak when you're in front of a keyboard where you can pause it and go back. And and kind of distill it down to what is essentially just a few basic points.
It's kind of the opposite. But I do feel like, I don't know. Yeah, he's CEO talk, but I feel like, I don't know, I heard things.
Well, for example, the next item in the list. Okay. One of the other comments he made during the same event was, we want to get people from needing Windows to wanting Windows and loving Windows. And this is one of those moments where the Windows, community, oh, yes, thank you. This is a big deal. This is so great, And you don't really think about it. You kind of walk away all feeling good. He said the right thing. It's great. But you know what? That can't happen. It can never happen. And there were a bunch of reasons, but I think that, not because there's anything inherently wrong with Windows, the OS, but because before you get it as a consumer, they give it to HP and to Dell and Lenovo and Acer and Asus and all the other goon squad, Hitler's henchmen companies out there, and they ruin it. And they ruin it with crapware. And they ruin it by loading up double drivers or outdated drivers. Yeah, yeah. And they deliver it to consumers in a way where there's like 57 Windows updates that have to be installed. There's crapware putting up advertisements in the corner. There's a useless antivirus thing that, by the way, is going to expire in 15 days. Oh, my God, you better get updated right away.
Yeah.
They completely ruin it. Yeah. And until they fix that problem, you can talk all you want about people loving Windows. I think people do love Windows. They just don't get Windows. They get Windows with all this crap on top of it. And that's a huge problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really true. The consumer edition of Windows, consumer's perception of Windows is very much skewed by.
Yeah. And you get this little device. It's got 16 gigs of storage, 32 gigs of storage, and you install Office on there and you have 0 gigs of storage.
Yeah.
And it's because there's crap on there. It's just the stuff that you do not need. And you don't know. Some of this stuff might be useful. There's no way to tell.
Yep.
And it's it's like the good side, bad side of the distribution model that has worked so well for them in the past. But, PC makers are in many ways the best thing that's ever happened to Windows.
Right.
They're absolutely the worst thing that's
ever happened. Well, now you know why Microsoft's making hardware, I guess.
Yeah, but that itself – but by the way, there's a reason that everyone's making a Chromebook. And it's not because Chromebooks sell well, although they have.
No.
It's because, screw you, Microsoft, you did service.
Yeah.
That's exactly why that happened.
Although, and somebody in the chat room is pointing this out, this is very similar to the experience Android phone users have when they get an Android phone crapped up by HTC or Samsung or LG. It's not Android. That's something else.
But to the user, it is Android.
Yeah, Samsung is Android to most Windows, people. Yeah.
Right. No one thinks, screw you, Samsung. Or maybe they do, actually. Maybe it's Samsung.
I think a lot of people think that.
Let me retract that statement. Yeah. But I think a lot of people blame Microsoft for what's wrong with Windows.
Yeah.
When, in fact, it's Dell or Lenovo or some other company.
Well, a lot of the reasons when you heard people justifying why OEMs put crapware on PCs, it was because Windows is so expensive for them and they have to offset the cost.
Yes.
So
is Windows expensive though? Is it not anymore?
Holy cow! Right. It's $35.
Yeah. Well, it's actually, if you get the Windows with Bing SKU, it's
$15 or
$0.
Yeah.
Right. And zero if it's under 9 inches. So that argument is kind of out the window. I wish Microsoft could just say, the rule is everyone does signature PCs from now on. If
that's exactly what I'm asking. A big step though, isn't it? In the past, that would have been an antitrust issue. I think we've reached the point where we can argue, all of our competition is doing just this. This is the only way we can compete in this world, which is very different than it was in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. It's time to grow up and move on.
Has Microsoft abandoned
like
the signature
crack
PC?
Addicted
no,
to
I know,
it.
I know.
These guys are saying, oh, no, I can stop. I can stop anytime I want. The next version, we're not going to do this. And it comes out and it's got 23 pieces of crapware on it. The boot times are astronomical.
Look at download.com. The disk is all full up. Any of the shareware download sites now, which do the same thing. They crap up your download with adware.
Yeah. I know. And by the way,
horrible greed.
I get times are tough. I mean, I understand
not that
needing
tough.
To make money. I write books. I understand what it's like to make no money. But of the 7 or 8 things that I install on my PC every single time I start from scratch, at least 2 of them have you have to you have to pay attention during setup. Because you click next, and you've just installed some insane toolbar or adware thing.
I think that's a big issue for Microsoft. It's too easy to screw up Windows. Almost everybody does.
It's almost like they should have created a new modern app platform where you couldn't do that anymore. Oh, wait.
Is the signature PC dead? Or are we going to see signature PCs?
Oh, no. Signature PC is going strong, and we're going to see more of it. I mean, the only problem with signature PC is they can't reach everybody. Microsoft retail stores are basically only the United States, maybe. I think
They need to roll out more of those, too.
Even the Microsoft online store isn't available everywhere. This needs to be available everywhere. And I just wish some PC maker, Vizio did this for a little while, but I wish some major PC maker, Dell, HP, somebody, would offer these two things side by side and say, hey, Bob, we'll charge you extra for it. $15 extra, $25, $100 extra.
Dell used to do that. You'd say if you pay another $50, you don't get crapware, didn't they? Did they still do that?
Yeah, that sounds familiar, actually.
I
just wish it was more available. That's all.
But
they're doing God's work over there. It's good stuff. No, they really are.
I will let you know on this new XPS, because I didn't see that option. There weren't very many customization options. I'll be curious how jumped up it is. And if
there are PCs that I really like. These HP Streams are a good example.
Yeah.
Any Lenovo product, if you can get a brand new ThinkPad,
used to be the worst culprit.
But they still are. That's what I'm saying. They're still terrible. Like, as good as these machines are, you still have to spend 30 or 45 minutes right off the top.
Yeah.
Just, what is this? What is this junk? Right. You know, it's awful. Yeah. It's really a big problem.
Big way to solve this I somewhat blame Microsoft because OEMs haven't stopped long ago shipping Windows install disks. And if you shipped a Windows install disk, then you would just wipe the drive and install Windows. And
awesome
you'd say,
would that be?
Bye-bye.
That's what I want. I want Windows and drivers, you know?
Yeah.
And the drivers thing, it should just be an application that checks online and grabs the latest
versions. Let me decide what crapware I want to install.
Yep. It's too bad.
Yep.
And that's, I have to say, that's something Apple does well.
But that's what I mean. In other words,
they cost a lot.
If you really
more.
Want people to love it, you have to control the widget from the beginning to the end.
And it costs
more. If you don't, if there are middlemen, it becomes like the situation is with liquor stores in Massachusetts, where I can't just get any alcohol I want from anywhere in the country. I have to go through this like pseudo mafia organization, and you kind of, you know, you either don't get it at all or you pay a lot for it.
I might also point out that though, when you get to these Dell XPSs, when you kind of I'm paying $1,150. This is not a cheap laptop, and I'm sure I'm going to get
right. Well, but you know what? It's a problem at every end of the spectrum. Let's say you're buying a $99 HP Stream tablet or a $200 HP Stream laptop. Nothing drives home the fact that you have no money to spend on anything more than having to waste your precious time trying to figure out which of this crap is crap and then trying to figure out how to uninstall it. By the way, none of it uninstalls.
Here's the great option. On the Dell by the XPS, the option is operating system recovery options, operating system recovery media not included, and there's no other help me choose what?
Yeah, what happens when you click help me choose?
There's no option. Worried about possible OS recovery?
Well,
they don't give me two options.
That's amazing. It really is amazing. How do PCs ship without recovery media in the box?
It drives me crazy. People call the radio show all the time. And first thing I'm asking them is, tell me you have a Windows installed disk. Nobody does.
This is like making people buy peanuts on a plane.
But that's, I have to say, Microsoft's fault. That's that going way back to Bill Gates' paranoia about piracy. No, they don't want people to do that.
Okay.
Don't you think?
I don't know.
They incentivize OEMs not to include disks.
Because this is an unholy and unhealthy relationship, Leo, is what I'm saying.
They say that you can purchase separately an OS recovery DVD, but it's not an option as far as I can tell.
Nice. So that must cost about, 50 cents? Because that's how much a DVD costs?
Yeah. I know that in modern Windows 8, you have a recovery partition. And does that but that doesn't restore it to pure Windows. That restores
it could. It could. PC makers can and do obviously change that to have
that
their own stuff
nice
in it. So you could use the built-in Windows tools and still get back to crapware central.
Right.
You know, through no fault of your own.
This is the option on my Dell. It's called additional software. I guess I opted in for the additional software option.
Yeah, it's called, you know, redo all the stuff that you just fixed.
I don't want additional software.
The system needs to be fixed. I realize I've kind of beaten this to death, but
I got to tell you, if Microsoft didn't incentivize OEMs to do this, and if and partly it's our okay, I'll take both. There's two parties to blame. It's Microsoft, but it's also us because we're demanding $250 PCs.
Sure,
we've killed the margin for the PC industry by demanding by really poor. Low cost PCs by being poor. You
stupid
know what?
Poor people.
I blame the Koch brothers. They're rich and we're poor, so we have to live with crapware. I bet you they don't have crapware on their PCs.
Economic disparity in this country could absolutely be at the at the cost of this.
Billionaires don't have to put up with this. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they just hire people to remove the crapware. It's fine.
I guess
get Bill Gates on the phone. I want a clean version of this computer.
Yes, sir.
Bill Gates left Microsoft like 8 years ago, buddy. Oh, no, actually he's back.
Can I actually go and download a pure Windows disk now that I have a computer?
Actually, yes. Yes, you can.
See, there you go.
You can. But here's the thing. So a retail Windows key would work on that, a Windows 8.1 or 8 key. Right. Would a OEM key work? Probably not.
You have to get the OEM version.
Yep. Those are different kinds of
numbers.
That's
right. You have to have the OEM version for that to work.
Yep. I'll test that, though. That's interesting. I don't think so. Those are different types of
things. I would love an article on Therot.com. Wow, we even got an echo on that. That was good. Wow. I need an echo button. On Therot.com. Calm. For, just how to get a clean install on modern versions.
It's ugly, Leo. Yeah, it's not. There's no pleasant way to do it.
Well, I'll be doing it next week, I can tell you right now. Thank goodness for Nite. Yeah. And that makes it easy.
A decrapifier as well.
I don't want to uninstall. Because I feel like there's still stuff lying around.
You want the clean.
Clean version.
I haven't seen this in a while. I mean, I don't have access to a million, PC. Actually, yes, I do. What am I talking about? But anyway, I haven't seen this in a while, but there used to be some people, and Dell used to do this, where there would be a multi-part setup when you restored the system. And so it would install the OS, and then it would install the drivers. And then it would say, would you like to install any of the Dell accessories and software? You say, no, I don't. Thank you. And then you would just kind of move on from there.
Acceptable. Like I said, they used to have an option, $50 more, and you won't have to have any of this stuff. And I notice it's not there anymore. And like I said, I'm buying an $1,150 laptop.
There's no excuse.
There's plenty of margin for them.
Yep. Look, the margins are razor thin on the $99 laptop.
I understand.
But on the $1,500 laptop, absolutely not.
Well, I'm with you. In your call to make signature mandatory.
I think we're losing Mary Jo.
Yeah, sorry, you've lost me.
She is.
That's okay.
She just wrote an entire post while we were.
I was like, wait, are we talking about Xbox? No, we're not.
We were ranting. Sorry.
Mary Jo, we got to move on and talk about Xbox. Yeah.
I agree with all of what you're saying, and I've got Richard B in the chat room saying the discs are not in the box because OEMs don't want them. They don't want it. I'm not sure who they is there.
I think it's Microsoft doesn't want it because they're afraid of piracy.
No, he says no. He says Microsoft wants OEMs to use recovery partitions. That's what they're encouraging. Okay, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Let's talk about Surface 2.
Let's talk about Spartan.
All right. I love that. I was on the horn, as I am every morning, with our web developers.
Yeah. And
just accept that one at face value.
I just want to say Agile is not.
Obviously, they're talking to you every morning.
Agile is about process more than anything I've ever experienced in my life. There's a lot of process, but one of the bits of that is that you scrum every day.
Standing up, right?
Stand ups, lots of them. We had a stand up and a there's all these slangy terms for this. I don't know. We had a stand up and we had a sit down and we had a anyway. One of the things I asked about is because we're using new technologies to do this front end is I'm old school. In the old days, different browsers had different implementations of Java, and you had a lot of code in your website to say, well, is it IE5? Is it IE6? Is it IE7? Is it Safari? And you would branch like crazy depending on what browser you were using.
Yep.
Fortunately, I think those days are kind of numbered. But anyway, the team was saying, we have tools now that do a lot of this automatically. And so I said, well, what about Spartan? Like, for instance, we're designing this now, but Spartan will be out this fall. How hard is it going to be to accommodate any differences? And Spartan has said, you know what? It's a plug-in system. There's something called SAS that works with CSS. It's straightforward. So I think Spartan is going to be very standards compliant, right?
Yes, very, very standards compliant.
That's key for me.
Yes. And this week we learned a couple new things about Spartan, which is that new web browser that Microsoft's going to make part of Windows 10. So it's meant to be a replacement for both modern IE, you know, the one that was the version that ran in the tile world. And then it also is meant to be the replacement ultimately for regular IE.
Wait a minute. You mean there'll only be one browser on Windows 10?
No. For the mobile version, will only be one browser. But no, and also for the desktop version. If you're an enterprise customer or somebody else who still needs IE for backward compatibility, you'll be able to download that and put it on your system. So technically, there's still two, but the way it's going to ship, I think, is just with Spartan.
Really?
I think so. That's my takeaway from what they were talking about yesterday in the Ask IE chat.
Wow. That's wow.
Which, yeah. So Spartan is the browser for Windows 10. But if you're an enterprise customer, don't panic. You can still get IE 11. The other interesting thing, though, is the rendering engine. You know, we keep it's very interesting. Some people in Microsoft call the rendering engine that's in Spartan a new rendering engine.
Right.
You keep
this has been unclear because we've also said it's Trident.
Right. So what it is in actually is a fork of Trident that it was like pulling teeth to get Microsoft to tell me this for some reason. It's a fork of Trident that is called Edge HTML.dll. It bears very little resemblance anymore to Trident because they've changed it so much since they forked it, but it still is Trident for all intents and purposes. It's not WebKit. It's not Gecko. It's a fork of Trident.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's new. Yes, it is new. And Microsoft's going to call this a new browser. It's going to work differently, but it's going to be able to kind of act like other WebKit browsers. And I am not technical enough to explain how that works. I know it has to do with user agent string.
So they're going to identify as WebKit, not as...
I don't know if they'll actually go so far as to identify as WebKit, but I think they will identify in a way that won't make it look like they're some different non-standards compliant browser.
Right. That's critical. I think currently, don't they identify as Mosaic? I'm trying to remember
what
the user agent string is right now.
It says Mozilla in there.
Mozilla, that's it. Yeah.
Right. There was a really good, I'm going to refer anyone who cares a lot about this kind of under the hood stuff to an article that was in Smashing Magazine this week that was
written by an
engineer who works on IE named Jacob Rossi. You should go read that article. It has everything you want to know about Trident and the new rendering engine in Spartan in that article.
As you might imagine, web designers very, very intrigued and concerned and want to know as soon as possible.
Yep.
Yeah.
The other thing we found out this week about Spartan is they are going to support extensions. They said this also in the Ask IE dev chat this week. Somebody, I think it was Brad Sams from NeoWin, who said, are you guys going to do that? And they confirmed it. They said, we are working on a plan for extensions for a future update to Project Spartan. They wouldn't give a time frame or explain what that meant. If it meant you could use Google Chrome extensions, they didn't say that, but it is going to happen. They are going to support extensions.
And interestingly, I got this from the Smashing article. You can enable the new engine in your Windows 10 technical preview today. So you could try Edge HTML on your existing code and see what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
You have to change about flags and enable experimental web platform features.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. They're doing the right thing, I think so. With Spartan. Yep.
It's so funny because this is kind of fundamental now to the ecosystem. You got to.
Right. Yep. You've got to do this.
You got to do it.
Also, they're testing out new potential names for Spartan.
How about Vivaldi? I like that. It's kind of Vivaldi.
The ones they're testing are all E's. Elixir, Evo, Endeavor, Edge. But most of us just want them to call it Spartan. So I hope they end up calling it Spartan.
No, they're not going to call it Spartan.
I don't think so. Why not?
Because it conjures up the picture of a naked man with a beard. It's not.
Thank you. That's
not what I think of when I think of.
Maybe that's just me.
Maybe it's just you.
No judging, Leo.
How about something like Bingle?
Bingle? No.
Okay, maybe
like Bingle.
Bingle. Something with Bing in it.
No. I think they're either going to do Spartan, just plain old Spartan, like they did Cortana, right?
Yeah.
They kept Cortana.
And who was it that said they should call it the Covenant?
Jeez.
With a little Halo reference there.
Right.
No, it has to have something. It has to have something.
Spartan has to do with Halo.
Right.
So?
Right. So it has to have something to do with Halo.
They could. They could do it.
Bing Explorer, registered trademark, Microsoft Corporation, 2015.
Bing Explorer.
No.
Yeah, that's a little old. Evolve.
Yeah, Evolve.
So that's what all these E things are.
Yeah, kind of all callbacks. Those E things. Yeah.
Evo, yeah. Evolve, Elixir.
Yeah.
Elixir?
No.
Elixir. Wasn't Elixir the host of the late night horror movies on the...
Nice.
She was the queen of the night.
Elvira.
Oh, Elvira. That's it.
That's how Paul pronounces elixir.
Elixir. Yeah, elixir. Would you like some elixir to go with your lobster?
Yep.
Elixir. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Let's take a break. Come back. We got more to talk about. Office next. Oh, you know, the earnings. We didn't really talk about that yet. And we still got our back of the book. We got a ton of stuff still to talk about. We're just getting underway here, folks. In fact, you know what? Let's, we'll do IT Pro TV. We got to talk about them. They're great, great guys doing a wonderful product for anybody who wants to get good at IT. Maybe you're already in IT or support and you just want to polish it up. Or maybe you're looking for a job. And you know you need those certs, don't you? To get that IT job. IT Pro TV is the way to go. I got to tell you, these guys are wonderful. And I say that because they unabashedly copy, or should I say it's a homage, imitate what we do. IT Pro TV is very much like Twit. In fact, they were doing IT training for years. And Tim Broom and his partner, there's Tim right there, and there's Don Pezzett. They said, we like what Leo's doing with Twit. Wouldn't it be cool if we could do like a tech TV or a Twit TV for IT training? And if you look at what they're up to, that's exactly what they've created. Live on the air, 30 hours a week, with a chat room going on behind the scenes. You can watch it everywhere, including on Roku. They've got a Roku channel, which is fabulous. And the price is right, especially if, you know, you're looking at the costs of, a technical school or IT boot camp or even some of the study material. We're talking here $57 a month, $570 for an entire year. And I'm going to get you 30% off because I'm really big believers in this. If you're studying to get your A-plus cert or your MCSA or your... You know, any of the CompTIA certs, any of the Microsoft certs, Cisco. They've got these new ISC squared security certs and a really great trainer on these. They're wonderful. But that's a skill. We're about to talk about Office. Yes, they have great Office training. Excel, Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, Access. Project management. If you're studying for the PMI cert, they've got classes. VMware, Citrix, Hyper-V, Wireshark. That's a great course, by the way, if you want to use Wireshark, Google Apps for Work. Lots of incredible material and more added every week. Hundreds of hours of content. I want you to go there right now, itpro.tv/ww find out more about it. And then I said I was going to get you a discount, 30% off right now when you use our offer code WW30. What you'll do is you'll be able to try it free for 7 days and get 30% off. And not, I'm not talking about the first month of the first year, forever. Forever. In fact, if you do get the year subscription, which I recommend, you can then download everything DRM free. So listen on the airplane. They have video and MP3s. There is, by the way, corporate and group pricing available. Clients include HP, UCSD, Penn State, Stanford. And I love this. Once you reach your 13th month, year two, they're going to cut the subscription price even farther. That'll get it down to $24.95 a month or $249 for an entire year. That's less than like three books. This is really a good deal. itpro.tv/WW. They've got PowerShell courses now and Chromecast support. So you can, not just the Roku, you can watch it on your Chromecast. Linux Plus, itpro.tv/WW. If you've been wanting to polish up your skills or get a better job, this is the way to do it. We thank Tim and Don and the gang at IT Pro TV. They're great. We love them. You see, I always have my IT Pro TV mug with me. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, let's talk about Office. What do we know about Office? They're calling it Office Next?
No. This is the naming on this is going to get a little confusing. last week, Microsoft said that the new touch-first Office that they're building for Windows was going to be available for free on Windows phones and on small under 8-inch tablets. So we knew that. Then a couple days later, they put out a blog post and they started calling this touch-first Office, what are they calling it? They have a funny name for it.
Gemini was the code name.
Yeah, that was one of the code names. Office for Windows 10 is what the touch-first Office is called. But there's another version of Office that's Office. It's the full-fledged Office, the fully functional Office that runs on Windows, all versions of Windows, not just Windows 10. That is called Office 2016, even though it's going to ship this year in 2015.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we've got Office for Windows 10. That's a touch-first Office that's going to come out later this year. And we've got Office 2016, which is your full Word, Excel, PowerPoint that's not just touch first.
Stop the insanity.
I know. It's so confusing.
Does Office 2016 include touch?
Does it support touch? It's not built for touch.
It does.
So that's the superset, right?
If you have a touch screen, it will go into touch mode.
Okay.
Right.
Which makes the ribbon items bigger. It's not a lot.
So you could get so it's not all.
That's why, it's on Windows RT, right? I mean, that's how it's on those types of screens. That's what it's set up for by default.
Yeah. So Office, the one that's touch first, it's Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, and I think Outlook. The one that is Office 2016 is Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, Outlook, Access, Publisher, blah, 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 probably Sway. All the apps are in that one. That also supports – the Office 2016 will support macros and other features that the Touch First one won't have. So there's two offices for Windows, the Touch First Office, the other full-fledged Office. They both, we think, are coming out in – this calendar year at the end of 2015, maybe even at the same time. So that's what we know now. And neither of them is in public preview yet. The Office 2016 is in private preview with some testers outside of Microsoft. But so far, it doesn't have any major new features.
I don't even want to start this conversation.
No.
Is this superseding Office? This is superseding Office 365?
No.
By the way, it's not a hard differentiation here. This is for touch first devices. It's a mobile version. It's not the full thing. It's it's equivalent to iPad versions of Office.
Yes. Right. We think it's going to work with the subscription. That you'll have to have some kind of subscription to unlock the full set of features, not the basic.
You're talking about touch first Office, not touch Office 2016. Right. Office 2016.
And think about it in the context of Windows 10. This will be bundled with the OS. You'll get it on small devices for free with the OS instead of an Office 365 subscription, right? And so that makes more sense for Microsoft. They're not giving away as much. But it gives people on those kinds of devices the basic functionality that they need.
And with my Office 365 subscription, I'll get, when it comes out, 2016.
Yeah.
If and you'll also get, I think you'll also be able to use that with Touch First Office.
Well, I would hope so. I can now with the iPad. I would presume they give you the same.
Yeah. Well, the point is, though, with the 365 subscription, you'll get the full feature set of all of the mobile versions of Office, iPad, Android, iPhone, and Windows.
Unless you have certain Office 365 subscriptions, like small business doesn't give you the actual apps. I don't think. You know what I mean? Yeah. Office 365 small business. I
nice
have that
if they just fix that.
But it doesn't give me the Office apps. It just gives me the access to the back end.
Yeah.
I don't have a home or a consumer or professional subscription.
Yeah. They could really rationalize this system.
Yeah. But it's coming. So Office is coming. And if you have the small Windows phone or the small tablets, you're going to get the touch version for free. We don't know if you're going to get the touch version for free with all of the Windows 10 SKUs. That we don't know.
Dare I ask about Office for the Mac?
Second half of this year.
Hey.
That's all we know.
Yeah. Will it be now feature complete with the Windows version? I mean, will they match up or are we still?
I think it's going to match up more to 2016 than to a mobile version. I think Mac users aren't going to get the you know.
No, we don't need that. That's all right.
The El Cheapo, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Paul gets the next topic. I can't even parse this blog post.
I know.
I've read it like five times, and I'm not so sure.
You mean major updates coming to photos experiences at OneDrive?
This is a Sanofskian blog post, but it kind of boils down to three things that are happening.
That's a new word I like. It's like Chekhovian, Sanofskian.
Yeah. Some of the stuff is happening immediately. Some of it's going to happen over the next few weeks or month or whatever. OneDrive, as you know, you can back up your photos to it. You can do this from Windows Phone, Windows devices, iPhone, iPad, Android, whatever. And that's neat. But the problem is it all gets dumped into a camera roll folder, and it's just a raw dump ordered by date, you know? And so in my case, I've been doing this now since the middle of 2010. I have 11,300 and something photos in my camera roll folder. And that thing is useless. It's just, I mean, it's, you know, you can go back and see photos that just happened, but once you get past a couple of, you know, screens worth, it's impossible to find anything. And so they're going to improve that stuff. And so part of what they're doing is up on the server, if you will, up in the cloud, they're going to add an albums feature, which we're all going to see, also going to see on the client apps, which is the ability to automatically and then manually create albums of things inside your camera roll. And so, for example, it will look at the date, the location, and the time and say, hey, you just did a bunch of stuff at the same time in the same place. This is an event. It's an album, you know, that kind of thing. And you can share albums, kind of a nice interface for that. And so you're going to see that on the web. You're going to see this in iOS. Eventually, you're going to see it on Android and Windows Phone, and, of course, in Windows 10 as well. What else? The other big one is changes coming to the desktop, phone, and actually Outlook.com when it comes to interacting with your photos. And so I guess it's Windows 7 and Windows 8.x. There's a OneDrive Sync client, and it's going to be updated in coming month. And that update's going to allow you to back up photos from a camera, USB stick, an external hard drive, or whatever is connected to your computer to the cloud. And there'll be a new folder for that called Camera Imports. When you take a screenshot in these two systems as well, Windows 7 and Windows 8, meaning you hit the print screen button, not the Windows 8 one special key code or Windows 10 special key code, but if you just hit print screen, it usually goes to the clipboard, also will be saved automatically to OneDrive, right? And so you can take screenshots on one device and have them be on the PC you're actually working on automatically. That's something I actually use every single day. And then in OneDrive, last week or a couple weeks ago, they added the ability to save attachments to OneDrive if you're using Outlook.com on the web. Now they're going to have a one-click save for photo attachments. Same thing. If you get an email with photos, you can save those right to OneDrive immediately. And so it happens up in the cloud. There's no copying that you have to worry about down on the client. And then the third one is a new search functionality. It's kind of a partnership between OneDrive, Bing, and Microsoft Research that basically allows you to search the photos based on the time, location, or text that's extracted from the images themselves. And so you can also search for tags. And so tags is something that Microsoft used to support a lot in their photo clients. We haven't seen a lot of work there, but now they're adding it back to OneDrive. And so it will create tags for you. You can create your own tags. You can obviously change the ones that they create. And then there's a non-photo aspect to it. We can also search office documents and PDFs by the text that's included, that's inside of them. And so if you know, like, you know, I have a document, I know I wrote about this topic, search for that topic, those documents will come up as well. And that's going to happen on the web first and on iOS, and then we'll come to Android and Windows Phone. And then, well, I don't know about Windows, presumably Windows 10 as well.
They're really playing catch up here, though. This is, I mean, Google's already doing most of this stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Even Dropbox is doing a better job than OneDrive.
Right. I think job one with OneDrive was just getting the raw dump going, you know, and getting all of your photos from everywhere. Obviously, there was a big controversy last fall around the placeholder thing. And one of the things around getting an integrated, consistent sync engine across all of their clients is they can start adding these kinds of features. Then they talked about photos right up front, because this is the big one that people have been complaining about. I mean, it's just, you know, it's gotten better over time. But like I said, 11,000 photos, and I have zero way to organize them, to find things. And, you know, if I want to look at photos from like a home swap from 2 years ago, it's like page down, page down, page down. Yeah. Page, page, page. And then you have to look at the picture like, where am I in time? Nope, page down, page down. You know, it's impossible to find anything. And so I think they're finally going to start. I'm not saying this is going to fix all the problems, but they're finally making, they're taking concrete steps to, you know, fix what is a huge problem.
Yeah. Good. Well, right finally. Now, I just use it as a backup solution. You know, I mean, organizational stuff's all done by other stuff.
You know, I keep checking OneDrive today to see if any of this stuff has shown up, but.
But there's an opportunity here. I don't know why companies want to do it. I guess because their users are demanding it. But everybody now is offering, you know, this kind of photo backup.
Well, it's important on OneDrive because, first of all, you get a lot of free storage. I think it's 30 gigs is free for everybody. Right. But if you're an Office 365 guy, it's unlimited.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the appeal of this is strong. The problem is the actual experience isn't great. And I think this is going to take a step in that direction, making it great. Or three steps, I guess, because it's really
freedom. No, they've in some ways leapfrogged Google. So yeah, like desktop import. That's I don't think anybody does that.
I know. Well, it's just kind of a crazy, unique feature you can add to a PC. It's a good idea. All right, I think we're about 50% of the way through the show notes.
I know. My God.
I know.
There's a lot to talk about this week.
Yeah. Let's do earnings.
Let's do earnings.
So this is weird. Microsoft announced their earnings on Monday. Usually it's the end of the week. It made me feel like this whole week was Friday.
By the way, yes, absolutely.
Right? So they announced their Q2 fiscal 2015 earnings on Monday. They met the estimates for their operating earnings, 71 cents a share. That's what what Wall Street was predicting. Mm-hmm. But their stock pretty much tanked this week. And the reason it did was their forecast for what they're going to make for the rest of the year was fairly conservative.
Was it $0?
No, it was more than $0. But they also
going to match our Windows licensing.
Exactly. They also, I think we're starting to see what we all knew was going to happen at some point, but now it's very visible what's happening. Microsoft is making less money per copy of Windows because of the $0 thing and because they're dropping the prices for OEMs. At the same time, they're transitioning to this new cloud model. So Windows commercial revenues, which are their Windows business revenues, were down. Office revenues were down for the commercial segment because they're selling more Office 365 and not as many people are buying copies of Office anymore, physical copies. Windows Phone revenues were down a lot, even though they sold quite a few Windows phones, surprisingly, for the quarter. They sold 10.5 million Lumias, but their revenues were down 61% compared to the year-ago quarter for Windows Phone. So, yeah, it was kind of a very mixed, rocky quarter. cloud looked really good for them. Enterprise looked good, except for Office and Windows. But they're in the middle of this transition right now to the cloud, and you can really see this happening. Also, they are no longer getting benefits from people moving from XP to other versions of Windows. That's kind of tapering off now, and that also was something that came forward in this month's earnings. They also said Japan and China were very weak, uncharacteristically weak, and they took a hit from an ongoing case they have with the IRS over how they're reporting some of their revenue exchange when they transfer revenues to offshore locales, and the IRS is trying to get them on that. So their tax rate went up. Foreign exchange rates were bad, not working in their favor. So there were a whole, it was like a big storm converging in one place. And there, so that's what happened with the stock this week. It was a
just
it
sounds like a lot
quarter.
Of excuses, Microsoft.
I don't know if they're excuses, just a lot of factors kind of all converging.
My
I
dog
think.
Ate my revenue.
Well, by the way, I the one thing, I mean, because, you know, I always look on the bright side of things. Windows revenues to PC makers were down 13% year over year. Microsoft gave away Windows for free last year, basically, or charged almost next to, you know, nothing for it. And their revenues were only down 13%. And so that actually tells me that they sold a lot more Windows licenses than they did previously, a lot more, but that they were, of course, a lot less money per license. In fact, sometimes it was free.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And I actually think that's pretty positive. I mean, and as Mary Jo said, you know, they weren't getting that bump from XP upgraders in business. They weren't getting a price bump from education as well. They lowered the price there. There's some interesting, I mean, counters to some of the bad news in a way, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, on the Xbox side, for example, Microsoft for the past few months has been promoting how amazing the holiday season has been for Xbox One. Number one selling console in the United States only in November and December. Record sales of Xbox One, you know, better. Xbox revenues were down 20% year over year. And again, same basic reason, price cuts, right? But, you know, for Windows to only be down 13%, I mean, you're kind of seeing an amazing volume there, I think, and that's the benefit they get. There are a lot of Windows licenses being sold, and that's not all bad news.
Right.
You'll forgive me if I'm a little distracted. This box from Dell just arrived.
I was going to say, did you get a pizza? Oh, I see. It says Dell.
Is that the XPS?
I think it is. It came a week early. I'm
Well, let's jump ahead to the picks, Leo, shall we?
I want to get out of here. Aren't you guys done yet? Let me just show you. Just look how little the box is.
Now, wow.
Yeah. That's not the laptop. That's the box. Holy
I desperately
moly.
Need for these people to make a 15-inch version of this that's in a 13-inch case.
Yeah, wouldn't
I would
that be
love,
cool? Yeah.
Love that machine.
Yeah. Very much an Apple-ish experience with the box. And in fact, it really does look like a MacBook Air. A little square.
That's the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I figured that.
Leo, that big part, that's not
that's
the front.
That's the back? It's not quite the wedge, though, that the Air is. Yeah. And you know what? People were saying how light it is. I mean, it is light, but it's not that. It's not like floating out of my hand light. This is the thing that's remarkable, is the almost bezel-less screen. Let me turn it on.
Yeah, the screen is impressive.
And this is a nice, you said you played with it, so I'm not telling
you. Oh, touch the, yeah, that's what I'm saying, the top of that. That,
I the, like
that
the
kind
texture.
Of grippy surface.
Yeah.
I do, too. I really like that.
It's like a rubberized
thing. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Well, now you just have to wait while they install extra crapware.
Yeah.
I don't see any discs in this box.
By the way, no you could have bought this from the Microsoft store, and they would have given you the signature version.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn.
You know what? I wonder if you could get it from them.
This is it.
You know, there's the restore disk.
Somebody's saying that there is a place to go. Microsoft does offer a download restore that works with the OEM key. So
okay. I'd like to know where that is. I mean, I know of a you can get the ISOs for Windows, but I'm not positive about it working for OEM keys. If that were true,
not either, but
I need to know about that because I would definitely write that up.
Let me scroll back through chat and see if I can find the link because It was whoever posted that, if you could post it again, that would be great. Here it is. Create, reset, refresh media.
Yeah, but how do they know it works with OEM? Does this say OEM case?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen this before. This creates an ISO on a DVD or whatever.
Okay, I mean, I'll try it. I mean, I'll try it.
I'll try it right now. Heck. Yeah. Heck. Yick.
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? It'd screw up my brand new Dell.
Windows cannot be activated.
Oh, is that beautiful?
That's what could go wrong.
That is. I have to say, that is...
Really
now nice. I understand why everybody was raving about this. This is gorgeous. And I kind of like the high-res screen. Wow. Okay, sorry. That's made the show even longer.
I know.
Yeah.
There's too much to talk about
There's
this
too
week.
Much yeah, we're going to have to...
You don't want to talk about Power BI going freemium?
We skip right over Power BI and go right into Xbox.
No, we can't. We can't skip Power BI, you guys.
Okay, quickly.
No. Okay. So Power BI, it's Microsoft's business intelligence service. Up until now, it's been fairly expensive, like close to $50 per user per month to use this. This week, Microsoft announced they're going to come out with a free version, like completely free. They call it freemium, but it's free. And you're going to get many of the capabilities that are currently part of Power BI for visualizing and interacting and managing your data for free. There are limits, like there's 1 gigabyte per user data capacity limit. There's going to be the new paid version, which is called Power BI Pro, and that's only going to cost $9.99 per user compared to what we were just saying, $50 per user. Right now, it's in test. It's U.S. only. They say it's going to come to the international market sometime in the future. We don't know when, but if you're in the U.S. and you want to try it out, you can just go to the Power BI site on the web and just sign up. All you need is an email address. You don't even need a Microsoft account to try this out. So go check it out. There you go. Power BI in 1 minute. Boom.
Nice job.
Wow.
By the way, the very first field that I have to enter anything in is my email. It says, to enable enhanced support and better protect you, click next to send information to Dell and share your email address with Dell and McAfee. Already.
McAfee.
A bad sign. Already. And there's no, you know, I don't want to do
is
that.
Is McAfee located in Columbia now, or is that just the...
I don't want to do that. No.
You know what? I told Paul this. When I got my Acer, I bought it on Amazon, my Acer S7, and it came as a signature edition. I didn't even buy it through the Microsoft store. For some reason,
actually,
it came
so some third parties are selling signature edition laptops through Amazon.com. Yeah. Yeah, you got lucky because that's really nice.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Somebody said you could say no. I don't see anything but next. So I don't see no.
You can say no, but then you have to click next.
What I did is I gave it
about Xbox.
No, let's skip Xbox. This is not important.
All right, Xbox.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
Xbox One controller getting an update. And don't forget Games with Gold. I just downloaded for $25. Madden 2015 Super Bowl edition.
Wow.
There you go.
Tip of the week, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Paul Thurrott.
So a reader sent me this amazing tip, and this is amazing because so many people got these free versions of Office 365 Personal last year when they bought all these cheap PCs, which is you can upgrade this thing to Office 365 Home for just $10. And what's particularly amazing is Office 365 Personal and Home actually can be stacked. And so if you buy a bunch of key cards in a store or you get these free coupons in a PC, you apply them to your account, it actually extends the subscription out. So if you have three of them, you get 3 years of the subscription. So for just $10, you can actually upgrade which is what I did, your 3 years of an Office 365 Personal subscription to 3 years now of Office 365 Home. So I don't want to belabor the point. I have an article on my website. You should read it. So the difference between Office 365 Personal and Home is that Personal is for one person. Home is for five people or five PCs, right? You can share it with up to five people, but also five PCs each. So, I mean, you know, for $10, I mean, it's kind of a crazy upgrade. So you should definitely check into that.
Do it.
So for the software pick, I'm actually going to skip on the one I have here because I think this is a bigger discussion that I don't want to have right now. So I'll just throw out two things. Dropbox finally came out with their Windows Phone and Windows, tablet app, like the modern app last week. This is actually a very high quality app. I compared it side by side with the iPad version. They're identical as far as functionality. And so we did not have a Dropbox app on these platforms for the duration. Now we do. They've been kept up to date so far, at least with the other versions. So that's fantastic. If you use Dropbox, you're going to want to grab one or both of those. And then Mary Jo pointed out to me today that there is an NPR app called NPR One that shipped just today, also both for Windows Phone and for Windows Modern, like a modern app. And it is made by, it's the official NPR app.
Yep, it is.
Nice, finally.
We should put out some bad news on apps, though, too, because we're getting this on Twitter. So I think it was a week or two ago, Chase Bank decided they were no longer going to support their app on Windows Phone, and they're pulling it from the store. They're citing lack of use because there are so few Windows Phone users, I would guess. I asked Microsoft about it, and they said, ask Chase. And today we found out Bank of America is dropping their Windows Phone app.
That's
I would assume
a deal breaker, ladies.
Reason.
That's
I know.
A good one.
So you know what I would love to see? Rudy Hun, is that how you pronounce his last name? You know, Rudy Hun.
Yeah, he's the guy that made the Dropbox app, by the way.
Right, he made a Dropbox app. Rudy, come on.
No, he made the Dropbox app.
I know. Make a Chase app and make us a Bank of America app.
Yeah, or banking apps are a little tough, though.
It's not going to happen. Yeah, security-wise.
I suspect those apps require internal.
There's no API to the bank.
Yeah, the public API to Chase. Yeah. How do I get into Chase accounts?
I don't think so.
Get account.
I know. I'm hoping Microsoft is going to be able to somehow build an app with the bank's cooperation, because you can't just be dropping these kind of apps on the platform. You just can't.
Hey, should I set this up as a existing PC or a new PC? By the way, this screen is gorgeous.
I was going to
PC. Yeah, the screen is amazing.
Gorgeous. Edge to edge is so nice.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll set up as a new PC. I don't know what settings I have or anything like that.
Okay, enterprise pick of the week.
Yes, sorry.
That's all right. We're going to let you keep setting up, and we're just going to keep
ahead.
Going.
Yes, good.
Enterprise pick of the week is Cosmos. And I wrote about this last August. Cosmos is an internal system that Microsoft uses to process all the data that it collects through Bing and Windows Live and a lot of their external facing systems, AdCenter, MSN, Skype. They collect a lot of data that they use when they're developing apps and kind of honing apps. They are now going to take Cosmos, their internal system, and they're going to make it available externally. It doesn't mean they're going to give users outside access to Microsoft's own data. It doesn't mean that, but they're building a storage engine piece of Cosmos called Kona. That's the code name. And they're building an analytics piece. I'm sorry, the storage engine piece is codenamed Cabo, and the analytics engine piece is codenamed Kona, K-O-N-A. So they're building out this system. They're also going to have this new language called SQL IP that's going to let users with Visual Studio plug into this data. And it's going to be a kind of big data processing system or engine. They're right now recruiting testers for this, and they have not discussed any of this publicly. I've just heard this from different sources of mine. I don't know when they're going to turn it on or when they're going to make a public preview available. But it's all about what they're doing alongside their HD Insights service, which is Hadoop on Azure. And they're coming out with this as another alternative for people who want to be able to harness the power of big data and use it to process their own data and run queries against it. So keep your ears open for more about Cosmos as we go forward.
And does Neil deGrasse Tyson host that too?
Yeah.
Just checking.
He does. Not really.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Right. Codename pick of the week is Nebula. And yes, I know there are other products out there around from OpenStack and other companies that are named Nebula, but this is an internal Microsoft codename, Nebula. So Nebula is a cloud inside of Microsoft. It's their infrastructure as a service cloud that they use inside the company, and it's not available externally. But what's most interesting to me about Nebula is Microsoft is using their cloud platform system, CPS, which is that Azure in a box thing where they built out racks of pre-configured Dell servers for customers. They're using these pre-configured racks of servers inside to power their own IaaS cloud, which is codenamed Nebula. So it's just kind of an interesting little fact. I was wondering what they were doing with that Azure in the box platform. They introduced it last fall. It was for very big customers and hosting providers. We haven't heard a whole lot more about it since then, but it sounds like Microsoft at least is using it pretty heavily inside to run their own private cloud.
Hmm. There you go. We'll get to beer in a second. I just want to show this is what the Dell thing came with. There's an Amazon button, which I don't...
Yeah. So, by the way, be prepared for two versions of McAfee, which is the modern version, but also the desktop utility. That thing is a modern app.
Ah.
So you can actually just, you can tap and hold on that and uninstall it, but that's not going to get rid of Mac.
Because there'll be and then there's Flipboard, the Dell shop, it doesn't look like there's too much stuff, frankly. There's Dropbox. So it doesn't look too bad.
Yeah, but that's...
Could be worse.
That's just the surface.
Oh, wait a minute. Complete your software installation. Yeah, Dell Digital Delivery. Can I say no?
Well, depending on what that is, I don't know. You'd have to read that to make sure. That might be your ability to get your restore media. And
software ordered with your system. I didn't order any software.
Didn't you?
Oh, I beg to differ, Mr. Laporte. You ordered McAfee.
Implicitly by clicking the OK button.
I guess I'm going to have to allow Dell to transmit service tag and other hardware configuration, provide updates, Dell Delivery, setup a G2. I guess I'm going to say okay. I can always uninstall.
What could go wrong?
Boy, it's a nice screen, though. Wow, is that just beautiful. Look at that. I feel like I'm there.
That is nice. Wow. Yeah.
Really, really nice. All right, let's get our beer of the week here.
Beer of the week.
And it's from Bellevue Brewing, the home of your... Meetup.
Yep. So got to give them a shout out because they were so awesome for us with our tweet up. They brew their own beers at Bellevue Brewing Company in Bellevue, Washington.
And, by the way, sorry to interrupt. They're awesome, but man, did they kick us out of there.
What?
Yeah, they had to.
The closing time came. The lights came on. And
what, 2 in the morning? What time?
We were like raccoons caught in the trash.
How late did you stay?
No, it was like 10 p.m. I think was the last call. Uh-oh. You know, it's not New York where you have the 4 a.m. last call.
Yep.
They flicked the lights on.
You have last call at 4 a.m.?
The broom on the way out the door.
Wow.
Yeah, Rattle and Hum is open till 4, sometimes a little late.
In California, it's 2, but apparently 10 p.m., in Washington State.
Yeah. Sure. But we did get to drink some of their beers. And one of them was a Scotch ale, Bellevue Brewing Scotch ale. I gave Paul a glass of the bourbon barrel age Scotch ale because he looked like he needed a beer that night.
Yes.
So Scotch ales, also known as Wee Heavy, W-E-E heavies, are a style that where it's very the wort of the beer is caramelized, so it's very dark brown in color. It's really roasty and malty, really nice, like not hoppy, just very full flavored, full bodied, really good beer for kind of like sitting by a fire, watching the snow fall, that kind of thing.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I also have a little bonus beer pick from one of our Windows Weekly fans, Pete Lasanti. He turned me onto this add-on for Untappd that is called D3 Beer. And I put a link into my account for D3 Beer there. So you hook up your Untappd to this app and it runs Google Analytics on the back end.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Finally, a use for Google Analytics.
Yeah. Wow. It shows, it breaks down for you how many beers you've had of each style and how many, which breweries are your favorites and which country you've been drinking beers from.
People will be shocked to discover that Mary Jo's profile and mine are very different.
Yeah. Wow. 1,133 beers checked
untapped.
In. Yeah. 1,000 unique beers. Yeah. 368 badges.
Kicking my ass is what's happening
here. 1,000 beer badge. Extraordinary.
But did you see
I have 196 uniques.
Yeah, but you don't check in all your beers. Did you guys see the link, though, that I have there? It's to that d3beer.jo.
Yeah, it's a visualization thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So it shows you, like, all the styles you're drinking. And surprisingly, or maybe not, IPAs are my biggest style, but it's not my only style. I'm pretty well varied in my drinking.
A lot of others.
IPA,
Imperial.
Mine's
double,
even worse.
Is it?
Saison.
Yeah, as a percentage.
That's cool. Yeah. That's really cool.
It's a cool little visualization tool, just fun, so you can see what you like to drink, what breweries you like. And my number one brewery is Stone Brewing from California.
Mine is Blue Hills Brewery. Go figure.
Yep.
So this is a long URL. It's
I got to say, I feel really good about my brewery list. No, I really do. This is a great list.
Yeah.
How can I share this with people? It's jonost.me.
Yeah, and then when you go in there, you plug in your own Untappd, and it'll generate your thing for you. Yeah.
I wonder if I go to the root page.
I think there is the root page, right?
Yeah, there's Jonathan Ostrander. Yep. And he's at SUNY and studying nanoscale science and engineering. Yep. Wow.
Well, good he's finally doing something useful with his life.
Wow. And then if you click projects, computational fluid dynamics, finite element analysis, and we'll look at what kind of beer you had. A Neopets tracker.
Also technically a fluid dynamic, Leo.
It is. I don't think, unfortunately, there's a link to D3 on here. Dag nabbit. Jonathan, we're trying to send you some business.
It is a tough URL.
d3-beer.jonost.me.
We'll have it in the show notes, too, for people who want to try it.
Yeah, we'll try it. Yeah. I don't know where those show notes end up.
I'll put it on Twitter.
On
Twitter somewhere. Good.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? You guys did a great job of hurry up.
Sorry, we were like, let's go.
Hurry up at the back end. And I slowed you down with my new Dell.
No. You know what? The crapware discussion is super important, but I'm like, what can we do about it?
We can just complain. That's all we have to do.
Complain, I guess.
And for some reason, it says Windows can't activate right now, which means I can't do much else.
Wow.
That's not good.
I'm online. I don't know.
Not what we call a good experience.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, it's still a lovely machine. And as soon as I put OS X on it, I'm going to love it. I can't do that. What's under here? There's a little hole.
Don't touch the hole.
Don't press that button. It's really
If you
gorgeous.
Remove that tape, your warranty is void, Leo.
Yeah, probably. Really is a gorgeous machine. Nicely done, Dell. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes. Good. I just activated Windows. I'm happy now. This concludes this edition of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. They join us each and every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC, for great fun and games. You can watch live if you wish, but if not, we also have on-demand versions available for you each and every week at twit.tv/WW. Also, youtube.com/Windows Weekly. Also, wherever you get your podcasts. I think we have strayed so far from the podcast, but nonetheless, there's no other word for what this is. So go to your Xbox Music or whatever your podcast app on your phone or whatever you use. We do have Twit apps, a couple of nice ones on the Windows Phone as well as iOS, Android, Roku. So get the app, and then you can get it every week. Paul, Mary Jo, thanks so much. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.